Dear brothers and sisters, today we will be looking at the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery is defined as a sexual relationship between a man and a woman who are not married to each other. Historically, even in South Korea, such actions were regarded as a significant violation of ethical standards. Most regarded that as a very grave sin, and if someone was found guilty of such an offense, they became too ashamed to lift up their head in public. Some of them even face ostracism from their community. But as time passes on, it appears that people's conscience become dull and their sense of guilt diminishes. The widespread use of technology and the development of the internet have made it easy for the adults, along with younger school-aged children, to be exposed to inappropriate content easily. As they are easily exposed to inappropriate influences and absorb them through eyes, ears, and feelings, they quickly allow their hearts to be stained by worldly lusts and commit sins in action more often. According to the news reports, even elementary schools commit sexual crimes. I think you've heard that. Well, things are getting younger and younger people are committing such sins. It's not just about a social issue, but it's this is the how the world is like. We have to stay on alert. Even though the world is dark, we shouldn't be swayed by the darkness, influenced by darkness. If things get darker and darker, we don't even feel that it is dark. People may hate bright light. We should never be like that. Even amid the prevalence of sin, God's children must walk in the light. By the way, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Even amid the prevalence of sin, God's children must walk in the light. We shouldn't think, this is not a big deal. This is not even considered a sin in the world. But we have to have our standards in the Word of God. By the way, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, not only prohibits physical acts, but also carries profound spiritual significance. Through today's message, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you are fully appalled God's commandments and keep both your heart and actions holy and pure so that you may be worthy of becoming the Lord's bride. Dear brothers and sisters, as previously explained, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, carries multiple meanings. First, it prohibits the general act of adultery, specifically adultery committed through actions. Adultery committed through action is a typical deed of the flesh, and the Bible clearly states that it will lead to a loss of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God can grant new believers who may not yet understand the truth opportunities for repentance. But once those who've entered the third level of faith and know the truth enough engage in such blatant deeds of the flesh, it's difficult for them to receive a spirit of repentance. So, receiving the blessing of repentance requires them to thoroughly repent, fast, and desperately hang on to God. Also, receiving forgiveness requires them to completely cast off adultery. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 tells us, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 also warns, if there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. It's important to remember that the Bible strictly prohibits not only sexual acts between unmarried individuals, but also offenses involving animals or same-sex relationships. Today, people's perceptions have shifted with TV series and movies often depicting unethical adultery as beautiful. So, it's important to discern everything through the lens of God's Word. Some may think that sexual relations between unmarried individuals are acceptable if they intend to marry in the future. But it's important to recognize that God prohibits such behaviors not only in the past or during Old Testament times. In the New Testament, God prohibits such fleshly acts even more strictly. In the name of the Lord, I urge you all to prevent yourselves from defiling yourselves, being swayed by worldly influences. So you receive God's great grace. And even though the world is dark, we should not lose our senses. Also, because the word is strict, you should not ignore the word. You should not think that you have to go to another church and live a comfortable Christian life. Then would God consider you not sinful? You know the word, and because you reject the word and you don't want to live by the word, that doesn't mean you can. It is a blessing to know the word and protect you. Even if you fail to protect yourself, you can fully repent and you can show deeds pleasing to God and break down the wall of sin and walk down the path of blessing. But you should not say, the word of God is harassing me, word of God is binding me. But instead, you have to discipline yourself with the word and as wise Christians, as wise God's children. Second, there is adultery in the heart. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The teaching emphasizes that merely looking at a woman with lust constitutes committing adultery in the heart. Committing a sin in action is preceded by harboring a sin in the heart. As such is the case for all deeds of the flesh. Hatred in the heart leads to causing harm to others, while anger in the heart results in getting angry and using inappropriate language. Similarly, harboring lust in the heart can lead to physical adultery. So, if only you harbor sin in the heart, you are already committing adultery, even if it hasn't been committed in action. Even if you haven't sinned in action, once you harbor lust in the heart, that's supposed to be holy, that can't be hidden from God who watches all things. Though you pretend to be holy outwardly, if you harbor lust in the heart and see, hear, and think about lustful things, how could you be recognized as his holy children by God? Some may claim that one cannot cast off sensual desire in the heart, but only strive against it. But such views are not aligned with God's will. Not aligned with God's will. Human effort alone is not enough, but through prayer, fasting, and God's power, even sinful natures in the heart can be cast off. Our Jesus wore a crown of thorns, and it's important to what kind of standards we have. It affects our Christian life, and it affects our dwelling places in heaven. It makes a such great difference. Just trying to cast off sin. Some people say, we can only try. We cannot cast off sinful natures as human beings. If pastors teach like that, his members would think that I can, it's okay to continue to commit sins. And they, as they repeatedly commit sins, as they fall into the swamp of sin, they don't even feel sense of guilt. And they think that because they are attending a church, they are saved. Does this mean they are saved? Because if they are in a deep swamp of sins, they cannot be saved. It's like the blind guiding other blind into people who cannot live comfortably as they please, and they just live as they please, and they may not, they end up not being saved. Even though some Christians, even though they know they have to cast off sins, but they don't know the way how to cast off sins. They, some people will pray, they cry out, and there are Christians who cry out and fast, but they don't pray, but they are not, they haven't learned about casting up sins, and they don't think it is a sin to hate someone in hatred. They don't think it is a sin to have lust for women, like having such a sensual desire, having such adulterous mind. You know, the Bible calls it adultery, but because they're not taught that way, and they just think it is not, so they don't feel guilty even if they have such lust and sensual desires. So even if they pray and fast, how could they be receive true blessings? And but the gospel of holiness is such a high level gospel. It could be difficult because it strictly warns against sins, and it strictly and strongly urges us to cast off sins. Casting off sins is not an easy job. It's not done effortlessly. There are many sinful natures that we don't even realize. We have like resentment, judgment, condemnation, but people don't think of them as sinful. People just spend time not regarding such things as sins, but the Holy Gospel of Holiness points it out and enlightens us on such things. Even though it may, we may feel burdened, we may feel burdensome, we may feel painful, but we have to go this way so we can resemble the image of God and end up in the good dwelling places in heaven. If we have obedient attitude, when we realize about our sins, we feel joyful rather than feeling burdened. But just acknowledging our sinful nature is not everything. We have to make continued efforts and discipline our bodies and put ourselves to death. We need such efforts, hard efforts. But we have to resemble the recovered image. This is our goal to reach. We are learning the words of truth and learning about the profound God's will. It is a blessing. Our Jesus wore a crown of thorns and shed His precious blood to forgive our sins of the heart and mind. He also sent us the Holy Spirit to help us remove even sinful natures in our heart. Once the sinful natures are rooted out, thoughts of untruth do not even arise. So even if we happen to see and hear bad things, since our feelings are not incited, what is not truth doesn't even come to mind. Of course, in the process of letting go of them, it may seem that the sinful natures which you think having cast off resurface again and again. But those who truly believe in and obey God's word and desire to cast off sins and evil will not stay stagnant. As you peel an onion, at first, you see one layer after another. But as you carry on, there's nothing left inside. The same applies to sinful natures. When you look through the eyes of faith, you won't become discouraged by the thought of having tried hard, but still being unable to overcome sins. Striving to let go of sins and evil leads to a firm belief in spiritual transformation. Hoping for complete sanctification, you can be motivated to try even harder. It's not that sinful attributes remain the same even after being cast off. It's also not true that evil attributes generate out of the blue. You finally discover the attributes that you haven't recognized. As this process brings you closer to perfection, you should rather offer more gratitude. While you are trying to cast it off, even if thoughts of adultery intrude momentarily, God does not condemn you. God does not condemn you. Problems arise when you continually accept and develop those thoughts. If you repent right after discovering such thoughts and continue your efforts for perfect sanctification, you invite greater grace and strength from God. So, He helps you achieve spiritual victory in the end. You come to Daniel prayer meeting and you try to cast off adulterous mind. You try to remove such adulterous minds and you praise in tears and prayed. And you prayed with fullness of the Spirit and you feel comfortable and you feel like those adultery has been cast off. You feel like when you pray with tears and in earnestness, and you feel like the adultery is gone, and you will not hate anymore. You will not have adulterous mind anymore. And you feel like you are able to protect yourself. But when you go back home, you go back to your old habits. You want to see sexual content. You want to see, watch. You want to, as you see some nice-looking women, your heart is stirred up, and you have to stop there, and you have to try hard to stop there. But if you, what about those who are watching pornography? You have to remove pornography, delete them. You have to remove such things from your heart. You have to guard your heart from those things, against those things. So you should avoid the stupidity of remaining in those sins. So that's why you need efforts. You may say, because I pray, doesn't God help me? Of course God helps you, but you also have to make efforts. Even if someone, but it takes time because you stayed in that old habit for a long time. You repeatedly committed sin and repented and accepted adultery. So you become addicted to such sinful natures. So that's why you need more and more efforts. But Father God has mercy on us and helps us. But just praying with the fullness of the Spirit once doesn't mean everything is over. You should not be discouraged. You will not stay the same. You have to gradually change yourself. As you change yourself gradually, and if you don't control yourself, if you just but you have to continue your efforts, praying with tears, and you have to, whenever adultery is stirred up in your heart, you have to discipline your body and try hard. Even though it is not cast off completely, God would not condemn you. But until you completely cast it off, you have to try harder and harder, and then you achieve a spiritual victory in the end. Third, there is spiritual adultery. The adultery committed through action and in the heart, which we just discussed, is adultery in a physical sense. But spiritual adultery is even more serious, as it involves loving the world more than God whilst claiming to believe in Him. Physical adultery also stems from a heart by which one does not fully love God and instead loves worldly lusts more. Colossians chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 tell us, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as deed to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Even with the Holy Spirit and the experiences of God's work, a person will end up loving worldly things more than God if his greed isn't dealt with. As mentioned with the second commandment, loving the world more than God is spiritual idolatry. So greed leads to spiritual idolatry. And then this results in spiritual adultery. Then, how do the idolatry in the second commandment and the spiritual adultery in the seventh commandment differ? In terms of the commandment, spiritual idolatry is anything loved more than God. Physical idolatry involves people who don't know God at all, creating physical representations to worship, while spiritual idolatry occurs when believers with weak faith love worldly things more than God. New believers may fail to let go of the world and love Him more than God, as they doubt if God is really alive, if hell exists, or if the resurrection is real. It's not easy to give up the world and live in the world. They have questions. How could God exist without parents? It doesn't make sense. I cannot believe it. Novice believers have such doubts. It's not easy to give up the world and live in the world. It's not easy to give up the world and live in the Word of God. This can result in their serving spiritual idols, prioritizing money, fame, or family over God. But as you listen to the Word and pray, you experience God's answers and believe in your heart that the Bible is true and heaven and hell are real. You realize that you should love God above all else and try to do so. Despite having such faith, if you continue to love the world more than God, you gradually grow in faith and you have firm faith. And God gives you grace. Even after you have definite faith, if you continue to love the world more than God and engage in the things of the darkness, this means rejecting God's love you've received and committing spiritual adultery. While spiritual idolatry and spiritual adultery may seem similar, they technically have differences. Novice believers, when they don't know God well, they don't realize the truth. People who have enough faith, if they still don't cut off the world and love the world and love anything more than God, this is spiritual adultery. The Bible portrays the relationship between God and His people as a husband-wife relationship, as well as a father-child bond. It's like a relationship between a man and a woman who have vowed to love each other wholeheartedly. Throughout Israel's history, the people often broke their covenant with God and worshipped foreign gods. While Gentiles created idols out of ignorance, the Israelites knew God so well. God chose them, led the Israelites to the land flowing with milk and honey, and showed them many signs and wonders, demonstrating His existence. Yet over time, the people succumbed to their desires, accepting the idols of the Gentiles and loving them more than God. If you look at the book of the Judges, the Israelites we find them so foolish. As we read the Bible carefully, we realize that. Why? In the book of Judges, the Israelites continued to leave God, worship idols, repeatedly worshiped idols, and then suffered troubles. And then, because they know how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, how God allowed them to live in peace, how God worked through Moses, how God gave the Ten Commandments, and how, and they know how God detests idols. Even though they worshiped idols and they are in trouble, and then they surrender to God and repent before Him, and then the God of love has mercy on them and send them a judge to resolve their troubles. This repeats itself in the book of Judges. You may think, because they are, it's better for them not to repeat the same mistakes, but they repeatedly commit the same mistake. This is the, you know, people, when they receive a resolution of the problem, they live in comfort and peace, and they resolve to live out a word. But, by the way, after a passing of time, fleshly attributes are stirred up, and they become lazy, and they stop praying, and they take worldly things again, and then at some point, they find themselves in trouble. This is our story. The people in the judges are like us. We have to examine. This is the spiritual adultery. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 25 says, "But they acted treacherously against the God of their fathers and played a harlot after the gods of the peoples of the land whom God had destroyed before them." It highlights that the idolatry of the Israelites was spiritual idolatry. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8 also tells us, "And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also." The northern kingdom of Israel engaged in spiritual adultery by worshiping idols. In turn, they faced God's rejection and destruction. But despite witnessing this, the southern kingdom of Judah did not repent and continued to worship idols. By committing the sin of adultery, Israel brought upon itself God's wrath and faced destruction at the hands of the Gentiles. Today, in the New Testament time as well, God's children are considered the bride of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 records, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." The verse means that Paul taught and guided believers to prepare themselves as pure brides for the bridegroom, the Lord. But if you believe in the Lord, have received the Holy Spirit, and call the Lord your bridegroom, but still love the world and compromise with untruth, this is spiritual adultery. James chapter 4 verse 4 warns about this. "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." It is impossible for a person who acts in hostility towards God, betrays the Lord, and commits adultery to partake in the wedding feast, nor be called the Lord's bride. This is why spiritual adultery is a far graver sin than physical adultery. For example, if you curse and spit at your older brother, though it is a big fault, there's room for your brother to forgive you if you regret your actions. But if you do the same against your father, this will be a grave discourtesy and difficult to be forgiven. Even physical adultery between people is difficult to be forgiven, but betraying God and the Lord through spiritual adultery is an even greater offense. So in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 11 through 14, God told the prophet not to pray for the spiritually adulterous Israel, stating that even if they cried out to him, he would not listen. Similarly, in your life of faith, if your spiritual adultery exceeds the limits, you will not be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, nor have your prayers answered. This distance from God causes greater worldly influence and leads to sins leading to death, including physical adultery. You may say, I'm attending church, I'm carrying out my duties, I'm sowed earnestly. Some people commit spiritual adultery through money or through their pride, or not living by the word of God itself. I'm not talking about novice believers. I'm talking about people who have enough faith, but they still live in sins and refuse to cast up sins and live in sins and evil. While they live in commit any sins, they give a lot of excuse. Oh, this is okay, acceptable. And this is clearly spiritual adultery. If they repeat living like that, they cannot communicate with God. Instead, the enemy devil will consume them, overcome them, and they will be controlled by, and they have their hearts taken away by the enemy devil. And even though they think about truth, they are consumed, they are controlled by the enemy devil. This is a terrifying thing. You have to know that. So you have to stay on alert always. This distance from God causes greater worldly influence and leads to sins leading to death, including physical adultery. As mentioned in Hebrews 6 and 10, you crucify Jesus Christ all over again and end up on a path towards death. And also, as you commit spiritual adultery, as you live in sins and evil, and you don't even feel guilty about, have a sense of guilt about committing sins, and you repeatedly do the sinful acts, and if you are living like that, even as a teacher of the God's Word, and you think that it is okay giving excuses, and you distort the Word of God, and then you badly affect even our other church members, and then you are not being moved by Holy Spirit, and then the Satan seizes control over you, and even as a head, even as a, that's why the teachers of the God's Word are judged more strictly, and in heaven they face greater judgment. When someone are deceived, when someone live in sins, we may think, oh, why are living like that? And we are heartbroken because of them. But if we understand them in the light of God's Word, we can have all answers. Even if we receive the God's tremendous gift, if you commit sins willfully, if you commit sins giving excuses, if you distort the God's Word in your own ways, this is not acceptable. And you just live a seek a comfortable Christian life and teach others that way, and then the Holy Spirit already dislikes you, and you are controlled by the enemy devil. So pastors have to stay on alert, and also when church members are being taught, they have to discern things in the with the Word of God. And so you, in doing so, you can prevent yourself from committing spiritual adultery always. Dear brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 3 verses 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. The bodies of the redeemed children of God are described as holy temples. It's important that we become qualified both in deed and heart, so we won't be ashamed as temples. Moreover, living a life of faith at the church, we've witnessed countless works of God. We've also learned much about His heart and will, salvation, and the need for sanctification. So, we must never forsake God's will. I urge you to seek only the truth in your heart, being free from both physical and spiritual adultery, so that you can present yourselves as the perfect bride of the Lord. I pray in our Lord's name that as unblemished brides of the Lamb, you will adorn yourselves as beautifully as you can and joyfully attend the wedding feast.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.